Pretty relaxed. We've come together here to remember the gift that the Lord gave in sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, and also the blessed and holy night from so long ago that He was born here upon the earth, and also not just to remember celebrate, but also to rejoice in God our Savior. Amen. And so my heart's desire for all of us gathered here this evening is just as the wise men that we learned about here this morning and in this morning's message, that as we are led by the light that God has given us and also directed by the scriptures, that we would together worship Heaven's King as our own. Amen. You know, considering the fact that that God is love, and by the way, Jesus is God, and so Jesus is love, and just something that may bless your heart, the next time you read what's known as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, read Jesus's name into every one of those statements. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. That's our Savior. He's not waiting to judge us for our sins. As a matter of fact, He died for our sins. They wouldn't have to judge us for our sins if we would trust in Him for salvation. So, praise the Lord. Does anybody else have a testimony they'd like to share? Okay, well, we're going to start now with the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 1. You may or may not be able to see your Bibles very well, but hopefully we'll have some slides up on a screen here. This is some scriptures pertaining to the promise of John the Baptist and also the promise of the Lord Jesus. So Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse number 5. And the scripture says that there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. He was one of the priests. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elisha to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Pardon me. They're speaking of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one whose voice would go forth in the wilderness, make straight the ways of the Lord. Verse 19, and the angel answering said to him, let me back up to verse 18. Zacharias said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answered, said unto him, "I'm Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus saith the Lord, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And now we'll sing, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Give us just a moment. We have to... It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. I believe, for us to understand the context of the coming of Christ. That was one of the reasons that I preached a message here last Sunday about the silence that had happened before the coming of Christ, the 400 years between the last prophecy and the birth of Christ. It was a dark place in the world. The nation of Israel had been under oppression to actually several different nations for several hundred years. And they, as we sang in the song, being crushed in spirit, being crushed under the load, that's what they felt like. And dear friends, we have been living in this world that sometimes feels much the same way. But I want to tell you that the same Jesus that came in that manger is coming again. and we will not have to live or dwell in this place forever. As a matter of fact, he has prepared a place for those that love him. And that's one of the things that makes the promise of the Lord Jesus so important to us. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, as we continue on, the angel appears to Mary, and then we'll look at Matthew, where he appears to Joseph with the promise of Jesus, beginning at verse 26 in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. That's John, who we just read about. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What an amazing thing it must have been for Mary there that night to listen to the words of the angel. Now, in Matthew chapter number 1, he also visited Joseph, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Friend, hidden in that text is a wonderful blessing, because the God of the universe certainly can determine his own name. And I'm glad that he decided his name would be God with us and not God against us. Amen. God is with us. Amen. We're going to sing Silent Night now. Silent Night, Holy Night, child, holy and
so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels. Sing alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Amen. Amen. So now we'll be going to Luke chapter number 2, and we'll be reading the account of the birth of Christ, beginning there at verse number 1. The Bible says that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And now, dear friends, we will sing Away in a Manger.
Laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but live. little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
Amen. Amen. And so Jesus was born there and laid in the manger, and it was not long that he received a visit. His first visitors there were the shepherds, and we're going to read about that here again in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 8. And the scripture says that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And so now we will sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Adore him, Christ the Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We don't have a slide for this, but in the Gospel of John, in chapter number 1, there is an account of the birth of Christ in the Gospel of John. Most people say there are not. But in verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word made flesh is the Lord Jesus Christ, come to be the Savior of the world. And so after the shepherds visited, we know that there were others that were able to visit the Lord Jesus, Simeon and Anna and even others. But the account that we looked at this morning, the account from the wise men found in Matthew chapter 2, we already read the first seven verses. Well, actually, we did not read these verses. I apologize. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Another scripture that I would like to share with you is that of the book of Isaiah in chapter number 9. Many folks are familiar with the passage that says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, the Holy Spirit, through the prophet Isaiah, said that a child will be born, a son will be given, and he will be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's speaking of Jesus. But I want to share with you that it was many years before that prophecy would be fulfilled. And so the people in Israel remained in a period of darkness. A few verses before this, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, this is what the scripture says. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Dear friend, I had opportunity here this afternoon to share at the nursing home with the folks there just exactly what it is that light does. You know, I'm reminded today that light helps us to see where we're going. I know for a fact, I wasn't sure in the last audience, but I'm sure in this one that we have some people that have walked the dark hills of West Virginia and Kentucky, and I've been back into those places. I think the sunshine pump was broke when we were there because it got pretty dark at night. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever walked in absolute darkness, but it's a difficult thing. And not only is it difficult, it makes it easy for us to stumble. And friend, light is given so that we can find our way, so that we can see where we're going. Light is given to lead us. And light also, I've noticed that light runs off darkness, doesn't it? And if you don't believe that, you go in a dark room somewhere and turn the light on and see how quick the darkness flees. I mean, it just happens that fast. And I am so thankful that we have the light of the world. Amen. Listen, I just want to tell you for a moment tonight, there is no reason for any person that's alive on the earth today to be walking in darkness. Because light has come. Light has been given unto us. And in the book of 1 John, John wrote about folks who say that they have a relationship with God. They say they walk with Him, yet they walk in darkness. Friend, you can't be walking with Jesus and also walking in darkness because the two just don't go together. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And I don't know who that's for here tonight. I'll leave that up to the Lord and up to the Holy Spirit. But I just want to encourage you that there is light, that you don't have to be in darkness, and that if you would turn your faith and your trust to the Lord Jesus, you would have all the light that you need to walk with Him. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand now with me, and we're going to sing together, O Holy Night.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul fell its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, serenely beaming with glowing hearts. By His cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from o'er. desolate land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger. In all our trials, born to be our friend. For He knows our need. To our weakness is no strength.
I love the shepherds in the Christmas story.
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason that the Lord appeared to them first of all the other people besides Joseph and Mary. You know, they were thought to be the lowliest of the low, just lowly shepherds. They smelled like the sheep that they lived with. And what an amazing thing, dear friends, that was happening, because for hundreds of years, these sheep, by the way, that were raised outside of Bethlehem were being raised to be sacrificed in the temple. These were the sacrificial sheep. And for hundreds of years, these sheep were being raised so that the sheep may die for the shepherds. But on that blessed night, the Lord Jesus came with a promise that the shepherd would now die for the sheep. And what a wonderful thing that He has done, and still yet today. I know that I'm also the lowest of the low, and I'm glad that He is willing to stoop down to the level that we're at. Amen? Yeah. That He came for me and He came for you, and there's none that He didn't come for if you won't trust in Jesus. And so, thinking of those shepherds, you know, when they came to see, when the angels came to them with a message, they said, "Let us go see this thing that the Lord has done." And then after having found Jesus exactly as the scripture promised and the pronouncement was made, they went forth and made this thing known abroad. And may we do the same. May we come and find Jesus exactly as the scripture proclaims that He is. May we receive and accept the truth of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, friends, may we go. And may we make this thing known abroad among all of our brethren. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're just so grateful to come together tonight and to remember this amazing thing that you've done, Lord, something that has never happened in the history of the world, that God himself would come down and take upon himself a robe of flesh, that he might suffer and die and pay the penalty that we owe. And I know today many of our hearts are drawn to the babe in the manger, but Lord, just as in the scene behind me, we know that that manger was in the shadow of the cross. And we thank you for the real purpose that you came. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful and being willing to come and to rescue us, Lord, in our great need. Lord. And I pray for every person. I pray for every heart, for every family, for every life that's here today, Lord, that they've experienced the wonderful truth of your salvation. Lord, I pray, I know that many families have already begun to gather, and more will be gathering in the hours and the days that lie ahead. And I pray for those families, Lord. I think of my own family, just over the last 5 or 10 years, the changes that have come. And Lord, our hearts sorrow at times for those that have departed. But then, Lord, our hearts also rejoice at those that have been added. Mm-hmm. And even that's not just true in our natural families, Lord. I recognize that's true in our church family. There are people that are not here with us tonight because they've gone to celebrate Christmas in heaven with you. And we thank you for that. That used to be a part of our church here, Lord. But Father, I rejoice in those that are here that were not here before. And so I guess we're just saying that we bless your name together. We love you. We praise you. And Father, I pray that your blessing would go forth upon us and upon each and every heart here. We ask it together in the name of Jesus. Amen.